ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता As it is, chapter 6, text 37, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Arjuna Uvacha Ayati Shraddhayo Peto Yogach Chalita Manasaha Aprapya Yoga Sangsidhin Kangatin Krishna Gacchati. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Purport. The path of self-realization or mysticism is described in the Bhagavad Gita. The basic principle of self-realization is knowledge that the living entity is not this material body, but that he is different from it, and that his happiness is in eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. These are transcendental beyond both body and mind. Self-realization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of the Eightfold System, or by Bhakti Yoga. In each of these processes, one has to realize the constitutional position of the living entity, his relationship with God, and the activities whereby he can re-establish the lost link and achieve the highest perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. Following any one of the above-mentioned three methods, one is sure to reach the supreme goal sooner or later. This was asserted by the Lord in the second chapter. Even a little endeavor on the transcendental path offers a great hope for deliverance. Out of these three methods, the path of Bhakti Yoga is especially suitable for this age because it is the most direct method of God-realization. To be doubly assured, Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to confirm Krishna's former statement. One may sincerely accept the path of self-realization, but the process of cultivation of knowledge and the practice of the Eightfold Yoga System are generally very difficult for this age. Therefore, despite constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons. First of all, one may not be sufficiently serious about following the process. To pursue the transcendental path is more or less to declare war on the illusory energy. Consequently, whenever a person tries to escape the clutches of the illusory energy, she tries to defeat the practitioner by various allurements. A conditioned soul is already allured by the modes of material energy, and there is every chance of being allured again, even while performing transcendental disciplines. This is called Yogach Chalita Manasaha, deviation from the transcendental path. Arjuna is inquisitive to know the results of deviation from the path of self-realization. Arjuna Uvacha Ayati Shraddhayo Peto Yogach Chalita Manasaha Aprapya Yoga Sangsidhim Kangating Krishna Gacchati. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shatiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuri Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Shriyata Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Vitam Sajivam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavad Gita is Yoga Shastra, the Shastra of linking, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes put it, the infinitesimal consciousness with the infinite consciousness. It's the path of going up. We are fallen in this material world, and to understand the necessity of rising out of that lower consciousness, becoming established in transcendental consciousness, and the process of doing so are described in Bhagavad Gita. However, while on the path up, there's also the possibility of slipping down. In the last class I gave here, we discussed this amazing statement of Lord Krishna's, Apichet sudura charo bhajate mamananya bhag. Sadhu reva samantavya. One is considered a sadhu. Even if engaged in the most abominable activities, if that person is fully fixed in the consciousness of serving Krishna. So that verse comes toward the end of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Here we find in the 6th chapter, already by this time, Arjuna is expressing a doubt. Krishna, you're speaking very high things to me about the transcendentalist, the yogi, the person in control of his senses, who withdraws his senses from the sense objects. Seems like a very high goal, but what if you try for that, but you don't make it? So this is an important subject. Fall down. This is a combination of two words, fall and down. And the word fall down as a noun seems to have been coined by Srila Prabhupada. Maybe in English that concept isn't there, of fall down from spiritual life, because there's no idea of spiritual life. So this topic, it's discussed by Arjuna, it's discussed by Krishna, it's discussed by Narada and Vyas, in which Narada tells Vyas that even if a devotee falls down, he doesn't really fall down in the same way that a materialistic person falls down. A materialistic person may be very pious and very good, but then he becomes a drunkard or something like that. We have the example of in Srimad Bhagavatam of Ajamil, the fall down of Ajamil, who was a very pious brahmana. Not exactly a devotee, but there was some touch of devotional service. But not clearly focused on bhakti until later in life. Till after the Yamadutas were denied access to his soul. So a materialistic person who falls down, he becomes sinful. But Krishna makes the point here in reply to Arjuna and is very emphatic about it in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Narad says the same thing we find in Narad speaking to Vyas. That a devotee, even though he appears to fall down, someone who's on the path of bhakti, very pure path, they may fall down. fall down means he stops practicing seriously and may engage in sinful activities. The devotee vows no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. He won't do these things. But devotees do fall down. So what happens? Well, Krishna says they don't really fall down. It's not this. It's not the same. They're sheltered. Ashraya, what is that? Ashraya loya bhaje Krishna tare nahi taje. One who takes shelter in the Guru Parampara. One who takes initiation, that means. I mean, not just formally, but seriously. Then Krishna never rejects such a person. Dikka kale bhakta kare atashamarpan she kale Krishna tare kare atasham. When a devotee surrenders to Krishna, that's called initiation. That's the actual initiation. This the sense of surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna thinks of that person as good as myself. Krishna makes that person his own. We have the statement of Lord Ramachandra. Sakrideva prapanno yas tavasmati tayachate. What is that? Abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami aham. Lord Ramachandra says, which this verse has been the subject of much controversy ever since, but whoever once surrenders to me, I protect that person. I offer him fearlessness. So, devotees in a different situation. Again, this doesn't recommend fall down, but it shows that the devotee is in a safe position. However, if one thinks, oh, okay, good, I'm a devotee, so I'll go out, smoke a few cigarettes, drink a few beers, and eat some meat, and everything's okay. No problem, Krishna's protecting me. This attitude is non-devotional. One cannot be considered a devotee if one thinks like this. So there is discussion of fall down, and yeah, Krishna conscious in Bhagavad Gita, we're discussing how to go up. But as Arjuna brings up the point, there's also the possibility of while you're going up to slip down. And it therefore requires to be discussed also. Our real topic is how to go up. Just like someone's proposing to do some seminar here on inattentive chanting, but I'm saying, why not have one on attentive chanting? Why on inattentive? Why should that be our subject of meditation? Rather, attentive chanting should be the subject of meditation. So our subject is Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhamma paramang mama, to go to the abode of Krishna from which there is no falling down, there's no coming back. But as long as we're within this material atmosphere, there is the possibility of fall down. Now, it is quite often discussed how to avoid or what are the causes of fall down. Maybe it's not discussed so much here in India as in the West, because in the West, fall down is generally more spectacular because devotees come from a more spectacularly fallen background, and the tendency of punaramushiko bhava, that is that one goes back to being a mouse. You all know this story? It's a well-known story. You go back to being a mouse. So there are mice, and there are some mice are a little bit well behaved, and some mice are like gangster mice, so heavy duty mice. So in the West, people tend to be more fallen, and their fall downs tend to be more spectacular. And also in India, there's a whole culture of how to be pious and apparently pious and quite sinful at the same time. You'll find someone who's,
Krishna.
I met recently in Rajasthan, there was one man who was very happy to meet us, and yes, a lot of feeling for Krishna. But in his pocket here, there's a packet of cigarettes. So a lot of feeling for Krishna. Maybe he has to, he's feeling so excited, he has to calm himself down with a cigarette. He's feeling so much excitement in bhakti. I don't know exactly, but in India, there's a whole culture of you can be pious and you can go to the temple and then you go home and then you watch some MTV. You can do everything all at once. This is the day our family goes to the temple, and the next day is set aside for the cinema, and like this. So, fall down. Yeah, it's maybe more apparent in the West, although in the West they're also making their own neo-Hindu culture of people who can be devotees, but they don't chant Hare Krishna much, or they have more faith in Vastu than in Harinam. They're very much concerned how in our house we have to have all the doors and windows in the right. They never go to the temple and chant Hare Krishna, but they must have a Sri Yantra here. And some devotees, you walk in their house and you say, oh, you like a glass of beer or what? That's how they greet you. In Alatra, there's all kinds, right? No one offers beer. Not the people you go to see. I'm sure there's cases like that also. It's all kinds. Everything's there in the Alatra. So you can be a devotee without being a devotee, kind of thing. It's like you're a devotee, that's all. And what do you do in bhakti? Well, nothing. You're just a devotee. Like that. You like to live it anyway. But we're talking about we're talking here about the devotee who falls down and who wants to get back up. Who doesn't want to get back up, then they're actually falling. Although Krishna usually arranges something horrific in their lives so that they can become serious again. Those who take to Krishna consciousness and fall down, fall away from that, and try to remember Krishna. Krishna usually arranges that they'll have something like a serious accident, or all kinds of horrible things will happen in their lives, and then they start to realize, oh, Krishna's saying something to me. I should be serious. When we take to Krishna consciousness, we don't make a plan to fall down. We don't think, okay, now I'm going to chant 16 rounds and follow four regulated principles. And at the time of initiation, most people are pretty serious about it. It takes quite a commitment to take initiation, isn't it? At least in ISKCON. Of course, there are certain places where you can go, just like in Bangladesh once I heard it, at a Hindu mela. There was an announcement over the loudspeaker that Swami so-and-so is giving initiation. Anyone who wants initiation can go to the tent. Every Hindu should get a guru, so now is your chance. And then you find certain gurus that they like that. They have a big pandal program and so many people come and they offer. Everyone can say, what mantra do you want? Ganesh mantra, Krishna mantra, which one? What do you want? You know, it's like it's a shop with lots of items. What variety do you want? So at least in Gauriya organizations also, there's people who, you know, there's Gauriya Vaish supposed to be, they'll initiate any living entity who comes within their vision of their eyesight. Even if they don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, or even if they're already initiated by a Gauriya Guru, they initiate anything and everything. They initiate the washing machine if they could. But in ISKCON, we're quite strict about offering initiation. And so people who take it up, they're quite serious. They've been chanting, they've been following. So they're not planning to fall down, but it happens in many cases that after initiation, devotees do fall down. Now, why should that be? Well, there are various reasons. Maya. Of course, we embrace Maya. It's our decision, ultimately. It's the individual's decision. But Shastra describes that Maya has two phases. There's avaranatmaka vritti, which just the covering potency. Everyone's covered by Maya. They don't even realize they're in Maya. Everyone's so badly in Maya, they don't even realize they're in Maya. And then there's the prakshepatmaka vritti, which when someone's trying to come up, then Maya bangs them down again. Or literally, prakshep means throwing. Throwing, Prabhupada called it the throwing potency. Covering potency and throwing potency. You come out, okay, Maya picks you up and throws you back down. So we don't plan to fall down, but it happens. It may be due to offenses. Kashyap Prabhu was asking me about this. Apichet Suduracharo. Does Suduracharo, does that also include offenses to Vaishnavas? No, offense causes one to that seriously. What's the word? Obstructs one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. By offense, one loses the nature of a Vaishnava. By improper behavior, one that doesn't cover one's tendency to be a Vaishnava, but offenses, especially to Vaishnavas, that covers one's very nature as a devotee. It's anti-devotional to be offensive to Vaishnavas. Of course, the tendency to be sinful, if one has bad habits of being, just like I was saying, someone may have an angry nature and they may just punch someone or something like that. So that's a bad habit from a previous devotional time. But if one directs that towards Vaishnavas, then that's very bad. You shouldn't start punching Vaishnavas. Or stealing. If one has a tendency to steal, you steal from anyone, it's not good. But stealing from Vaishnavas, then it becomes offensive. But things like smoking or like that, taking intoxication, that's just bad behavior. So one who's taken to Krishna consciousness seriously, that doesn't impede if one slips into some bad activity, if he's serious to go on with Krishna consciousness, that won't be a very great impediment. But if one makes offenses to Vaishnavas, that will block one's bhakti. So there's a difference between what we can call ordinary sin and aparada. So there is a difference. So yeah, a fall down can be due to offenses. If one is serving the deity but is not attentive, then that is offensive. Or if one is misbehaving with Vaishnavas, that is offensive. There's Seva Aparad, Vaishnava Aparad, Naam Aparad. We should know what are the offenses against the holy name. Dham Aparad. There are various offenses. And one should also not think that I'm a Vaishnava and therefore I can misbehave with others. Because Lord Krishna states, the first quality of a Vaishnava, Lord Krishna states, Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karana Evacha. So sarva bhutanam, one should be friendly and well-dispositioned towards all and not hate anyone. So if one thinks, well, I'm a Vaishnava, so I can just mistreat non-devotees, that's also not accepted by Lord Krishna. So the jivaparad, that can also impede one's devotion to Krishna if one is cruel to jivas, unnecessarily cruel. So there are various reasons for fall down. And we are cautioned against falling. I want to discuss in the remaining time, we don't hear this much discussed, what to do after falling. What should we do? First thing is don't fall. But then, if it happens, somebody said that fall down is circumstantial or accidental. Just that you're not planning. It's not planned. There can be a planned fall down. That's not good if you start thinking that, okay, well, I'm living in the temple, but I don't like it here, so all right, I'll just wait till the money in the box builds up. They empty it out at the end of the month, so on the 28th I'll rip the box out and run away. Planned fall down, that's not right. Or the circumstantial fall down, that can happen, that some, again, money, kanaka kamini, these are the two dangers, main dangers for transcendentalists. Maya comes in these gross forms, money and woman. So it may be that someone is not planning to fall down, but not very strong in devotional service, and just happens to walk into a room where devotee has left out a large amount of money, and he wasn't planning, but he starts thinking, oh, you see, I left my family, but they have so many problems. In India, people are likely to think like that. And in the West, they're likely to think, oh, I could buy so much intoxication for that. And either way, they think, oh, and then just take it and they're gone. They weren't planning it. Or it could be a mixture of both. Srila Prabhupada refers to Ajamil's fall down as accidental because he didn't plan to see the Shudra with the prostitute, but he did, and then his mind became agitated. But he made a specific plan to bring that prostitute to his house, and then he threw out his wife. So that's like a mixture. So anyway, what to do if one does fall down? Get up. Now, falling down is saying breaking the regulative principles, stopping to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds. Of course, one has to get up before you can fall down. So if one's not even chanting 16 rounds, then that's considered a fallen condition. How one way not to fall down is not to go up, but then we're just an animal in that case. So, apart from this gross fall down, I mean, we all fall down all the time, isn't it? Like, if you see a graph, it's like a graph of the financial, what, the stock market or something. It always goes up and down and up and down, and it may gradually go up or gradually go down. So, on our graph, we're chanting our rounds in the morning, we're very enthusiastic, and then somehow we come out, and then our mind, or it might be right in the middle, we're chanting, and then all of a sudden some mundane thought comes in our mind. And so that we're always going up and falling down, or even in our devotional life we may have some, we don't totally grossly fall down, but we have some material attachment or attraction. So in some way or other, until we become firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness, we're all falling down. But there is very serious and gross fall down also. So what to do? Well, the thing is, get up. Get up. And Prabhupada gave the example in the perfection of yoga of he's discussing this very chapter. Did Prabhupada quote that? There's a famous story of one king in Scotland who was fighting against the English. This was years ago in Scotland and England, a few centuries ago when England and Scotland were separate countries. And every time he'd get smashed by the English. So he was hiding in a cave and feeling discouraged. And he saw a spider trying to go up and falling down and going up and falling down. And then eventually the spider got up. So then he felt encouraged and he went back and he fought and he won. So that's the folk story. I don't know if it's true, but it's supposed to be a true story. So in the same way, Prabhupada gives the example, a transcendentalist shouldn't be discouraged. Even his fall down, he gets up again. Okay, let me go on again. Atishto tishta bharata. Get up. Fight again. Go on. Utishta jagrata prapya varandi bhodata. Kshurasya dhara nishata duratyaya durgangpatas tatkabayo vadanti. Get up, wake up. Attain the boon that is available in the human form of life. Prapya varandi bhodata. The path is sharp, like a razor's edge. It's a very difficult path. But we have to go on that path, nevertheless. There's no drinking Coca-Cola and going back to Godhead path. And there's no smoking cigarettes and going back to Godhead. It's not an easy path. It's easy path is going to hell. You have to make some effort. Fighting, it's a war, Prabhupada writes here in this purport. Devotional service is war on Maya. So there's no easy war. You can have your computer game war, but that's not a real war. In a real war, at any moment you can get your arm blasted off, your head blasted off. One devotee was telling me he saw a movie of D-Day, which is famous in Western history. It's when the British and American and other forces, they invaded German-occupied France, so they wanted to make it realistic. So you'd see people running along with their machine gun, with their guns, and then all of a sudden, the guy's got his head missing. Like that. And just people just falling down dead. They were running into machine gun fire. That's the only... They had to do that. So thousands of people got wiped out. It was inevitable. That's the only way. That's how they had to invade. They had to invade by running into machine gun fire. So it's just people just getting killed all over the place. Of course, in devotional service, one is never killed. But the point is, it's a fight. It's not easy. If we want an easy life, then don't take to devotional service. But in this war against Maya, one can never be fully defeated if one keeps faith in Krishna. And even if we're smashed, battered, clubbed in all ways, apparently defeated by Maya, we can always go back and fight again. We can always go on. So what should we do if we fall down? Get up. But it may not be easy to do, because to fight against Maya, one has to have a clear understanding. What is Krishna consciousness? What is Maya? It requires, we're talking about purification of Krishna consciousness, but fall down means that one has become bewildered. Kama esha krodhena. What's that? Sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodho vijayate. How does that be? Jayato vishayam punsang, sangas teshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodho vijayate, krodho bhavati sammoha, sammoha smriti vibramaha, smriti brahmshad buddhinasha, buddhinashad pranashyati. This is the process of fall down described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. That we meditate on the objects of the senses. Instead of meditating on Krishna, we start thinking about sense gratification. We become attached to thinking about something which we shouldn't think about. And already, that's already fall down. Pranashyati means fully spoiled, but it's already spoiled. By meditating on the objects of the senses, we become attached to that. And then from last comes anger, and then we become bewildered, and then we become more bewildered, and then we've completely fallen down. So to fight against Maya requires clear intelligence, but the very fact that we've fallen means that our intelligence is bewildered. So, the first thing we should do to become capable of utishta jagrata, getting up, waking up, prapya varandi bodhata, attaining the boon of life, is to admit that we did something wrong. We're in maya, we're in ignorance. Because fall down means we come to the platform of ahankara vimudhatma. We again come to the platform of thinking ourselves the doer. We become a great fool. We think kartaham iti manyate. We think I am an independent actor. I'm independent of Krishna. So egoism is there. We become on the platform of egoism. And often those of in a fallen condition, they don't want to admit it. They'll minimize the fault, or they'll say, or blame it on, it's not really my fault, or you see so many other people fell down, or it's not so bad. And so unless we admit that yes, I did something wrong and I need to rectify it, then we can't even begin to rectify ourselves. And it can be quite frustrating for devotees who are trying to help their, or guru trying to help their disciple, not even, nothing wrong with me, what's wrong? Especially there are so many devotees fall down and they'll say, oh, so many others fell away. As if that makes it right. So many people are eating meat, so what's wrong? I can also eat meat, what's the problem? Or we try to justify it, you see? Well, Guru is also a Vaishnava, he's also eating flesh, you see? Or they'll take some quote out of Ramayana, we saw today. See, Ram is also eating meat. So. Now, if you really want to be a good bhakta, you should eat meat, you see? So, humility. There should be some humility to admit that I did something wrong. And in fact, one, especially one who's been in a high position, sambhavitasya chakyate maranadati richate. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that for one who's been honored, to be dishonored is worse than death. So in Vaishnava society, one who's been in a very high position and who's fallen away can be very difficult for them to admit, yes, I did something wrong, even if it's obvious. But one has to be humble and admit, yeah, I'm not in a very good situation. But that in itself is not enough. Just like some people say, Yeah, well, I admit I did something wrong. You see, I'm honest. But being honest is not enough. One has to also want to rectify oneself. So, just like I'm saying, some devotees, so I'm told, or ex-devotees or whatever, they drink beer. Maybe not. You don't know in Elatra, is there? It must be. In Elatra, everything's in Elatra. So, they'll say, you see, I'm honest, you see. I drink beer and I don't pretend I don't do it. That doesn't make it better. Rather, one should give it up. I've just got some news from Abenteuer, which is the German mini Alachua. There's a few serious devotees and there's beer drinkers and there's everything. It's a mini Alachua. So, one has to have both. Actual humility is not just, you see, somebody say, oh, you know, I'm very fallen. All right, but saying that I'm very fallen doesn't justify one's being fallen. If one says, no, there's nothing wrong with me, I drink beer, and what's wrong with that? You see, I used to chant. I chanted 16 rounds for so many years, and now I'm drinking beer. So, all right, after some time, I'll stop drinking. Some kind of arrogance to justify their fallen. And maybe better than that is to say, I'm fallen and... Or their lies say, I'm a fallen soul. I don't know which is... It's black stool or red stool or yellow stool. It's difficult to say which is better or which is worse. Just in either case, not serious about rectification. So we pray to Krishna that he may give the slaps, or pray to Maya. Durga Puja is coming up. We can pray to Maya to please give me the slaps that I require to come out of your clutches, to make me realize that to be in the womb of this mother is not a very good womb to be in. She's mother of the conditioned souls. Jayambe, this is my Garbaras. So, actual humility means not just to say I'm fallen, but to do something about it. In Bangladesh, when I was there all the time, so many people would come to me, bow down, and it's in their culture, it's Vaishnava, bow down, offer obeisances, and say, I'm very fallen. And I'd say to them, you really believe that? You're very fallen? You're offering obeisances, does that mean you're ready to follow what I say? And say, yes. I said, okay, stop eating fish, stop smoking tobacco, stop drinking tea. And they say, we'll try. Which means they won't try. So in Krishna consciousness, no atonement is needed. If one falls down, it's not necessary to flagellate yourself. You know what flagellate means? It means to whip yourself, like those Muslims from Iran. They do that ritually. They beat themselves with whips. So it's not necessary to undergo atonement, but it is necessary to be sincere. And to make a special effort, especially if a devotee falls down, then it's very disappointing to so many devotees. So one should make a special effort to try very hard and very seriously and not disappoint the devotees who had great hopes in him. Introspection. Prabhupada quotes that comes in the Perfection of Yoga, which is that book is taken from a series of lectures Prabhupada gave on this sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, yeah, he gave this story of the spider falling and the king. No, I wasn't that story. What am I talking about? It's Vishvamitra. Maybe he gave that story also. It's a long time since I read the book. He gave this example of Vishvamitra, whose 60,000 years of tapasya was spoiled in a second by Menaka. Ding, 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 ding. Finished. But then after wasting some time with her, he thought, whoops, wait a minute. I'm a yogi. I'm supposed to be being a yogi. So he left her and he went back. So Prabhupada quoted the English saying, failure is the pillar of success. Do you have any saying like that in Hindi or Gujarati? Is there any similar saying? Huh?
Nishfalata is safalta.
Nishfalata?
Yes,
safalta.
Safalta?
Chabicha. Failure is the key to success. It's the same thing. It's a worldwide recognized principle among people who are a little wise about the nature of this world. So all right, you've fallen away due to weakness, but Krishna's not rejected you, devotees have not rejected you. So introspect, see, how did this happen? How did it happen that I, who came to Krishna consciousness with the seriousness to follow, how did it happen that I went away, I broke the principle on which I based my life? What happened? So one has to analyze how that sequence is given in Bhagavad Gita. Dhyayato Vishaya. Yeah, I already quoted that. It began with thinking about something which I shouldn't have thought of. And thinking of, that would be nice, I'd like to do that. Prabhupada often quoted the three mental phases that lead to action: thinking, feeling, and willing. That means you think about something, and then you start to think about it more seriously and make plans, and then you'd say, okay, I'm going to do it. This is the path of fall down. So we should introspect so that we don't make the same mistakes again. Try harder. One reason for fall down is just laziness. We don't bother. You know. Get up in the morning? No. Can't be bothered. All right. Chant 16 rounds. Well, I've chanted 14. It's late. Maybe I'll chant the other two tomorrow. Like that. Laziness. Try harder. Seek shelter of devotees who can help us. Especially if one's made a serious fall down. Seek shelter. Try to come close. Physically, personally associate with devotees who can help us. Despite all this, we see some devotees who repeatedly fall. But if they repeatedly come back and try, Krishna will help them. To fall down, in one sense, to fall down is not so bad, because it's understood that Maya is very strong and people are at different levels of advancement. And in the war against Maya, some, as Prabhupada quoted, so in the wars, it's inevitable that some soldiers are going to get shot or killed or seriously wounded. But the endeavor to keep on coming, that is appreciated by Krishna. When we stop trying, then we're really fallen. Then we're in a very dangerous situation. So it's not good to keep on falling, but anyone, one should keep on coming back. There's a very nice verse in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali that just as Even if the mother scolds the child, still the child has no other shelter but the mother. The child has no place to go. The child doesn't know anyone but the mother. Even though the mother scolds the child, but the child keeps on going back to the mother as the one infallible well-wisher. So in the same way, the devotee may be kicked around or may feel Krishna is dealing with me roughly, or what, but still we have no other shelter than Krishna. But the problem is when we start to think we have another shelter than Krishna. That's the problem. When we think we can take in shelter of intoxication, illicit sex, TV, all these things, movies. We find so many supposed to be devotees who they don't have the willpower to chant 16 rounds, but somehow they always find time for watching movies and TV. And it's not, you can't go up like that. You cannot make progress. So one has to be very serious, this is the point. Even if one falls down, or especially if one falls down, one has to be very serious in Krishna consciousness and recognize this isn't going to. I'm watching some movie, TV, that is manoranjan. That's the same for the mind, but at the time of death, oh, how are we going to regret? How I wasted my time. It's not going to help us. It's just a pollution. So we have to be very serious. And devotees should help those who have fallen, not condemn them. Try to help them to come up. The best thing is, don't fall away. Stay steady on the path. Once having made the vow, stick to it. But it is a fact that probably, maybe even the majority of devotees who make the vow, four regulated principles, 16 rounds, maybe the majority of them within 5 years or 10 years are deviated from that, especially in the Western countries. And in India also many. So it's dangerous. Be careful. So we have this program of rising early, chanting 16 rounds, differentiating between what is Maya and what is not Maya, and anukul yasya sankalpa, accepting those activities which are favorable for Krishna consciousness and rejecting those which are not. So really it's up to us to take to the process very seriously. And best thing is don't fall away. And if we do, come back. Come, be steady, be strong. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.